From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 7th day of June. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll discuss the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass of Agrible and Nutrient Ag Solutions from right here in Champaign County. As we close out our time together, some of you will be able to stay with us and hear all of Commodity Week. Otherwise, just a portion of it. Our panelists this week included Dan Zwicker, along with Brian Stark and Chip Dellinger. It's up online right now at willag.org, willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers in Chicago as they finished up for a Friday. July corn down 4 3/4 today. Settlement price there at $4.15 3/4. September at $4.24 1/4, 5 1/4 lower. And December down 4 3/4 at $4.33 3/4. Next year's July corn 4 cents lower at $4.48 1/4. July soybeans 12.5 lower today, $8.56 1/4 the settlement price. November at $8.83 down 12 1/4. And January soybeans 12 1/4 lower at $8.96 1/2. The next year's May at $9.14 down 9 cents. Bean oil 38 cents lower at $27.38. The bean meal at the end of the day for a Friday down $3.60 at $312.30. July wheat futures 5.5 lower at $5.04 1/2 for the soft red. The September there at $5.09 1/2 down 4 3/4. And the hard red July down 6 1/4, finished at $4.49 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago nearby June 67.5 lower, $106.92 1/2 the settlement price. The August at $103.30, $1.50 lower. October at $104.50 down $1.25 for the day. Feeder cattle in the August at $137.25, that's down $2.02 1/2. September at $137.35, $2.25 lower. Lean hogs on the day, June contract, $0.72 1/2 lower at $78.65. July at $83.35. down the $3 limit. August also down the $3 limit. It settled at $82.62 1/2. We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. That's globalanalytics.biz to help us take a look at what happened in Chicago today and all week long. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Great to be back with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we've had some sunshine, a lot of work here done over the last several days, depending on where you are and whether you could actually get in. For instance, northern Illinois, especially along the I-80 corridor, is just socked. And I can't imagine they'll plant at all. How about in your area?
Well, I think we're probably getting a little bit farther down the pike than you folks are, just because the terracing and the way the lay of the land is probably allowing for better progress. And you know, there are spots of this part of the country that have very good Illinois, Iowa quality soil, but clearly there are a lot fewer and far between than the states of Illinois and Iowa. So I would say mostly you're getting a lot more done. And I would say you're probably seeing, I took a drive a few days back south of town where it's a little hillier, and you're seeing quite a bit more corn coming up, and it's looking very, very good right now. We have really kind of dried out in the last 4 or 5 days, and the near-term weather is suggesting that we could go all the way through the weekend with just nothing more than maybe spotty thunderstorms. So I think progress on soybeans are going to be very, very strong here in the Monday report, at least for Northeast Kansas. The river, Missouri River, the levee continues to be breached because nothing's been done since March. And so we still have, across the floodplain, 3 miles of water all the way across. So it looks a lot like St. Louis, looks a lot like what we're looking at down by Hardin and Grafton. That's how it looks out my back door. But if you get away from the river, a lot of progress has been made.
So you're well past the corn final plant date. Did producers stop planting corn?
I think they got most of it in, and I think they went ahead and pushed it. We had the end of May for our planting date. I think almost all my clients that were not near rivers and streams got everything in.
And well, so there will be more corn there than expected, potentially?
I think so. I mean, I think it's almost getting universal. When I talk to Nebraska clients, Kansas clients, and obviously your area, Illinois and Indiana clients, that have planted. They just didn't like how it went in this year. And I think that's going to be across the Corn Belt. So people that are talking already about yield loss, I think it's a germane and good thing to be keeping in mind. But I think we're a long way away from the USDA giving us yield loss. We still got to get the acres and demand hammered out. And, you know, that's where probably we're heading next week. We get Monday crop progress numbers. That's going to dictate a lot as far as how bearish or bullish USDA's numbers could be when it comes to South American production. And I think maybe the wheat number could be a mover and a shaker, because if it's not too big on the USDA Tuesday report, with what's going on in Russia and the fact that wheat was able to close up a half a penny for the week, I felt like that was a really nice way to go into a USDA report on a weekly chart.
What do you think about the soybean market at this point? It was leader to the downside today.
And it started off this week as the leader to the upside against the corn. I think the market has made that shift that if the weather dries out, we're going to get a lot more bean acres planted. And I did hear over by the Jacksonville, Illinois area that producers did take prevent plan and just jumped into the beans. And I think that's going to be more the case and more the scenario after this weekend. It looks like we've got a window of opportunity for Illinois and Indiana and Ohio going into Sunday. The midday model was a bit wetter on the GFS. If that happens, then come Monday, I suspect a lot more corn will be done with, and guys will say, okay, next time I can get in, it's going to be beans that I plant. And I think maybe the beans picked up on that. There's also a Financial Times article talking about the African swine fever. So it's hit the major news outlets at this point.
Yeah, so on prevent plant and the number of corn acres, we talked about corn acres in your area, and you said they rolled and they maybe continue to roll. But they rolled until they got to the end of how many acres would be prevent plant able, if that's what they had done, right? And that's, and then they just suddenly turned into the soybeans.
Yeah. Now my area, to be more clear, we ran up against prevent plant, but almost all my clients had their corn in by the time we got to that prevent plant date of the 25th, I believe it was, of May. And so they just are immediately going into beans. Now the Illinois, Indiana, Ohio people are starting to talk about, I'm going to take prevent plant now and just roll into beans here at this stage of the game if we get another system late this weekend, early next week.
You think that'll result in many extra acres?
For beans, you mean?
Yes.
No, I think what we have to look at right now is what upside potential do we have in the wheat going into harvest? And then how many acres have we lost in corn? And that's really, hopefully by the end of next week, we'll have that dialed in. I went from 3 million lost acres to more like 9 to 10 million, thinking that by the 15th, we'll get 90% planted. That Monday number is really going to be a launch pad to really whether that's going to be accurate or not.
Yeah, so your expectation is to see it jump to a whole lot more done than expected?
I would say 85% on corn would be bearish if we went 85% or more on Monday's report. And I'd say 65% or more on beans would be bearish. A five-year average on beans is 85%. But if we get to those levels, the trade may think we may be able to eke out a lot more progress. And that may be just a short-term thing, Todd. I got to reiterate what we've been talking about. This is a long-term, a long ball game. Don't get caught up with the funds.
Right.
Play the fundamentals.
Yeah, so it's a long ball game. And the crop progress numbers will, as I've mentioned on Twitter a couple of times, and I know that Scott Irwin wrote about it as well, they'll start to drift higher just because, well, they'll include prevent plant and drowned out acres is done at this point.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we have to move on in the hedging business, in my opinion. We have to move on to the fact that we only had 39% corn emerge this past week versus 86% last year. That's what we have to move on in terms of our hedging. Is there really a lot of downside below 425 in D's corn right now? Indications right now would say no, especially with the dollar breaking so hard today. That's going to be crucial in the summertime with our demand base.
So emergence and crop condition numbers are the numbers to watch.
Right now, yeah. And that will tell us whether the USDA report is even going to have an impact on Tuesday, because I think all of us, all my colleagues I've spoken with, are like yawn about the Tuesday report, except for South American production, maybe world wheat production.
They could update the yield number, though.
They could, but history would suggest they're not moving that forward. I mean, think about what we did in March at the acreage report and putting the South Dakota, North Dakota corn acres numbered up 1.3 million when it just had no chance of being there.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
I think that'll do it, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it a lot. You have a great weekend now.
You too, Todd. Thanks.
And of course is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. That's globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of things, including the daily postings from the Farm Doc Daily team. Now you can go straight to farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, but if you come to willag.org, you'll find our daily programming and the Farm Doc Daily Team's program too. You just click on that headline, it'll open up the Farm Doc Daily Team, and you'll be able to read all the things that the agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, the crop scientist as well, have been writing about the agricultural world that you live, work, and breathe in. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Eric, thanks so much for being with us. I think I want to start with this nice little stretch of weather that we've had, at least locally, for producers to get some work done, and most importantly, for fields to dry out so they can get in. How widespread is that, and what do you expect for the rest of the week?
Yeah, you know, days like today, we wish we would have had, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, where it's up in the 80s and windy, where we can dry up the soil and really get a lot going. And have been pockets, you know, right here in Chinpin County, for example, we missed some of the earlier storms this week. I remember my call my dad on over there in Springfield, Illinois. They got socked by a pretty powerful little storm system that went through. Parts of northern Illinois got soaked earlier this week. I'm talking 3 inches of rain in parts of north and northwestern Illinois. But then you just look back over the last, over the last 24, 48, even at 36 hours, there's a huge pocket of the Corn Belt that's been primarily rain-free because much of the action's been to our south. Got a little tropical pulse that's right now moved up into parts of that's kind of down there in the southeastern and quarter of the United States, and they are loving the precipitation that they're getting out of this because they were in drought. But yeah, around here, things have actually shaped up to be pretty decent in pockets over the last few days. But I guarantee you, there are people listening right now, they're going, what are you talking about? I got those storms, and they're feeling the pain of them. And I agree, it's been tough.
Yeah, it's a bit more summer-like with thunderstorms and such, I take it.
Yeah, and that's going to remove some of our ability to do any sort of long-range prediction. So what's happened now is the jet stream it's up in Canada, and as it's retreated to Canada, the pattern kind of flattens out a bit, and so we have to start watching these very little subtle features, these little things that show up, like a thunderstorm complex that might move through the Dakotas, may kick off an outflow boundary that eventually ends up in Illinois. We can't predict that more than maybe 12 hours in advance if we're even lucky, and that's what we're going to get for the rest of summer. That's just kind of the way it's going to be. So overall, the change in the pattern to a more summer-like weather is going to remove some of our predictability, whereas back when we had that deep trough in the southwest and a big ridge over the southeast, it was easy for me to just call in and say, hey, it's going to rain for the next 10 days, because that kind of pattern is very conducive to that.
Speaking of that, the southeast had been dry. Will they get wet, or have they been wetter?
Yeah, I mean, if you had to pick a spot where it has just been brutally dry, you can go right there along the coast from basically from parts of Virginia through North and South Carolina down into Georgia and Florida. There are some places there where soil moisture values are in the single digits in terms of percent in the top 3 feet of the soil. So they couldn't be happier that it's storming really bad there right now, just putting that moisture back in the ground. As they do that, people in Texas and in Oklahoma and Arkansas are super happy because they're actually going to go on probably a 4 to 10 day stretch of being drier than normal. And they just got flooded out. Parts of Louisiana got 10 inches of rain in the last 3 days. So those folks are super happy that the pattern shifted to their east.
Primary Corn Belt over the next week or so from the Dakotas to Ohio.
Yeah, so we've got two rounds of storms that are coming through the Dakotas. One kind of moving through Montana and the western Dakotas today. They got another chance tomorrow at some storms. And then early next week, they got another round. So they're not exactly dry. You look at the overall picture, and it looks dry, but that's because there's just these brief thunderstorm episodes that are coming through. Around here, you know, we're going to be dealing with, again, some chances of rain tomorrow. And then as the front slides through on Monday, we're going to watch very carefully to see if we're dry enough to avoid it, or if we do get some showers and storms out of that, maybe late Sunday night into Monday. But then after that, honestly, our next 5 days in this corridor, look much drier, much, much drier than they had previously. And that is that's going to look good for us, just trying to do whatever we can to get stuff in here at the end.
Do we have new long-range weather models out?
Yeah, they're released on the 5th of every month. And so when we look at what just came out on the 5th, we noticed that the European model still wants to keep June cool. In fact, it wants to keep July cool as well on the whole, which means when you average a whole month, that's what it's looking at. Texas, oh my gosh, some of the cooler weather that's coming into Texas, they may see some temperatures in the 50s, which is just crazy to tell someone from Texas that in June they're going to see 50-degree weather. But anyways, that cooler kind of blob of air is moving through, and we're going to get it here too. And that's the exact opposite of what I think we want. You know, when we look at those long-range models and they show up cool, that's a problem, because if we plant that corn at the end of May, beginning of June, we actually want the rest of the summer to be wet and warm. Wet and warm would give us our best situation. Not wet and hot, certainly not hot and dry, but wet and warm. The warm gets us to accumulate those heat units faster. The wet helps this crop that's already going to be, you know, struggling for its water resources just because of the way it's going to grow. If it flash droughts and it gets dry, that crop will be in serious trouble because it was planted into such wet conditions. My bigger concern is, what if we have a summer like we had in 2009 or 2014? Now, those were huge yielding summers, but we planted on time. If we have a summer like that this year, but we're just not accumulating heat very fast in the middle part of the season, it's going to be one where I'm worried that the crop will be finished in time. And that's kind of a scary thing to think about, but it's the reality of planting in June.
It's kind of that thing. I know producers are worried about what September, October, and temperatures look like, and those first frost dates. I guess something they have to consider, and you've probably been thinking about as well.
Yeah, you know, it was putting together some numbers here, just looking at what that is. You know, remember, right around here, we're worried about October 12, 13, 14, 15. That's when we start to see those first frosts, kind of the probability of them increase. And if we have a cool summer leading up to that, that could be a problem. But can I throw in a wild card?
Sure.
The wild card is the Pacific Ocean, okay? The Pacific Ocean, right now, we've seen a bit of a weakening, maybe a collapse of the El Nino. On top of that, we've also got cool water that's off the West Coast and off the Baja. Now, it does not extend clear up into the Gulf of Alaska and all the way out to Hawaii. If it did that right now, all we would be talking about is hot, dry for the rest of the summer. But it's about a third of the way there, maybe even a little bit farther. Now, given that we already have to treat July as if it was June and August as if it were July, there is, if we just pay attention to that one factor, a chance that we may be able to get in some hot, dry end to our growing season. And that could be detrimental as well. I wish I could just come in here and talk all about good news all the time, but Mother Nature's thrown us a lot of wild cards this year, and each one kind of increases the unpredictability of this upcoming season.
Hey, one final question for you. How's the Russian wheat belt doing?
Yeah, so when you think about where the Black Sea is, just north of it, of course, is Ukraine. South of it is Turkey, and east of it would be the Russian wheat belt and Kazakhstan, that area. Well, Ukraine got, and the western part of Ukraine got some much needed rainfall just recently. But the Russian wheat belt has been hot. It is going to continue to stay hotter than average, and it's been relatively dry. So we see the next 10 days still they're showing up with a bit of a dry bias. And so just got people thinking about how's that winter wheat crop going to finish and what to expect there as they go into their growing season, you know, planting a lot of beans and other things as well. So it's not a rosy picture in that part of the world either.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agribull and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Joins us here in the closing market report from Illinois Public Medium for this Friday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget to visit our website. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like there at willag.org. I know there's been a problem for those of you using iTunes. I'm working on that. It's not a problem here. It's actually with Apple, and that's a bit tougher for me to get fixed, but we'll get that fixed over time if you're listening to the podcast there, but you can always find it at willag.org and listen to it online on demand. If you're a Google user, use Google Play, and if you're using Spotify, it will show up there as well. Of course, in SoundCloud, and you can find it in the NPR One app. Now, yesterday afternoon, we recorded Commodity Week. Our panelists for the week included Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. Brian Stark joined us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County, as well as Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. I started with Dan because I wanted to get a handle on where we stood as it relates to the technical side of the marketplace. We've made some new contract highs or had earlier in the week with corn, and I asked him to lay it all out for me.
Well, corn is going to, unless something just totally falls apart as we finish out the month of June, I mean, we're going to have a monthly reversal. Then we're going to have a quarterly reversal on the corn chart. So it does at least technically imply that the corn has made a major low and this rally is just actually beginning. Now for the week, we're maybe down a few pennies, but today's recovery or Thursday's recovery, and if the market follows through on Thursday's reversal, then we could actually finish out the week higher and continue that string of higher weekly closes that we've had. So I look at the big picture of corn, especially with the quarterly reversal. That's almost assured, and I think that pretty well tells us that we've got a major low in place and we're going to break out of this sideways pattern that we've been in, basically 320 to 440 for the past 6 years. Now, July corn did go up against it and then kind of stopped again. And I looked over at the cash chart. Central Illinois cash corn went right back to the 16 highs. There was a chart gap that it went and filled and then backed off. But I think today's action, if it follows through and we close out the week higher, then I think corn has another run to the upside to bust through those that upper end of that sideways trading range. And then once we bust through that, then the gates are kind of opened up then for a move on up to the $5 level.
Boy, you are pretty darn confident on the 6th day of June, predicting that we'll have a quarterly reversal to the upside for the 3 month period. We've got a lot of time between the end of this month and right now. What makes you so confident?
We ended last quarter on the rear end. Remember the bearish quarterly stocks report on the last day of March sent corn futures reeling. So we had a very poor close on the first quarter. And of course, those prices continued to weaken until finally the weather market took hold and they finally realized that planting was not going to be a normal planting this year. And then, of course, we've shot sharply higher. You know, we were sitting around, 350 on the corn. So now we're up around 420. So, you know, we got about a 70-cent, 80-cent advance in corn. And I think it's pretty hard to lose that given current conditions, because I just don't see anybody coming out with any evidence to make corn turn into a bear market here over the next 3 weeks.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. He and Brian Stark of the Andersons, along with Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing, joined me yesterday afternoon for the recording of our Commodity Week program. It's up online at willag.org. And unlike the closing market report, which has been having some troubles with the iTunes account, it is making its way through iTunes, so you can listen to it there. And as a podcast, of course, in Google Play Store, on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and in the NPR One app, most other major podcast applications that you might be using. Thanks for listening this afternoon. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.